Welcome to Base by Base, the papercast that brings genomics to you wherever you are. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to follow and rate us in your podcast app. Imagine, for a second, copying a book.
Okay.
But not just any book, like a massive library consisting of 3 billion letters.
Right, yeah.
Now imagine you have to copy that entire library by hand every single time a cell in your body divides.
That's an absolutely monumental task.
Right. And when you're dealing with a scale that large, operating at the, you know, blinding speed of cellular division, mistakes are completely inevitable.
Oh.
But what happens when the incredibly fast cellular machinery copying your DNA makes a typo? If those uncaught errors slip through, they become permanent mutations. And those heavily drive things like aggressive cancers and devastating genetic diseases.
Which is exactly why this matters so much.
Yeah. So you have this molecular machine flying down a DNA strand. How does it suddenly realize it made a mistake, physically stop its forward momentum, back up, and act as literal proofreading scissors to cut out the typo all without falling off the DNA track entirely?
It is arguably one of the most mechanically beautiful processes in biology. And for a long time, we really only had a very partial picture of how this worked.
Just a partial picture.
Yeah, I mean, we knew the cellular machine possessed the ability to proofread itself, sure. But the actual physical choreography, like how it catches a single mismatched atom, quarantines it, and fixes it, while remaining firmly anchored to the genetic code that was massive mystery.
And unraveling that mystery is exactly what we are getting into on this deep dive. Today, we celebrate the work of Feng Wang, King He, Michael E. O'Donnell, and Huilin Li from the Van Andel Institute and the Rockefeller University, who have advanced our understanding of the proofreading mechanisms of human DNA polymerase.
It's just a remarkable piece of research, really. To truly appreciate the scale of what they discovered, we need to look at the machinery itself. Okay, let's look at it.
So the specific enzyme doing the heavy lifting here, primarily on the leading strand of your DNA, is called DNA polymerase epsilon.
Polymerase epsilon.
Right. For simplicity, we'll just call it pol epsilon. Now, pol epsilon is essentially a dual function enzyme.
Meaning it does two different things.
Exactly. It contains a synthesizing site, which we call the pol site. You can think of that as the printing press adding the new DNA letters.
Got it. The printer.
But it also contains a completely separate proofreading site called the exosite. And that is the shredder, or, you know, the molecular scissors.
So it is the builder and the editor packed into one single machine.
That is the core of it, yeah. But here is the structural problem that has puzzled scientists for decades. Those two active sites are 40 angstroms apart from each other.
40 angstroms. I know we are dealing with the atomic scale here, but how far is that relative to the size of the molecules involved?
Well, to give you a sense of scale, an angstrom is 1/10 billionth of a meter.
Yeah. If we scale this up and imagine the pol epsilon enzyme is the size of a massive automobile factory, 40 angstroms is like needing to physically move a defective car from the assembly line all the way across the factory floor to the scrap crusher.
That's a huge distance internally.
Exactly. When the builder makes a mistake, the DNA strand somehow has to bend, travel, and navigate that entire distance over to the editor to get fixed.
Okay, let's unpack this. If the printing press and the shredder are separated by that much internal space, how does the DNA successfully make the journey? I know previous studies have tried to map this out, but from what I was reading, there was a major flaw in how we historically studied this mechanism.
There was a profound flaw, yes. To understand how the polymerase moves, past researchers would often study it by taking it off its sliding clamp.
The sliding clamp?
Yes, the sliding clamp. It's a rigid, ring-shaped protein called PCNA. It completely encircles the DNA strand.
Oh, I see.
You can think of it like a heavy steel carabiner that locks the polymerase enzyme onto the DNA safety line so it doesn't float away into the cellular fluid.
Right.
But because the entire assembly is so complex, researchers would often study the polymerase in isolation, without that ring.
That seems odd.
Or, alternatively, they would feed the fully assembled machine, what scientists call the holoenzyme, a piece of DNA that already had a mistake pre-built into it, just to see if the enzyme scissors would recognize and cut it.
Wait, studying proofreading without the sliding clamp seems totally counterintuitive. That is like studying how a train switches tracks by taking the train off the rails entirely.
That is a great way to put it.
I mean, if that clamp is always there in real life, holding the enzyme tightly to the DNA and dictating its angle, wouldn't removing the clamp completely change how the DNA bends and moves inside the machine?
You've hit on the exact reason why this new research is so groundbreaking. Yes, it completely changes the trajectory.
Wow.
In a living cell, pol epsilon does not just let go of the clamp to fix a mistake. It acts processively, meaning it stays locked onto the DNA for millions of base pairs at a time.
Millions.
And this is incredibly relevant globally. When pol epsilon makes an error while locked onto the DNA, specifically a mismatch that forces a cytosine to guanine transversion, it creates the single most prevalent type of mutation found in human cancers.
So understanding how this enzyme operates in its natural, constrained state, locked tightly to its clamp, is absolutely essential for understanding how our genome protects itself from cancer.
Precisely. It is life or death on a cellular level.
So the team needed a way to look at this microscopic machine while it was still fully assembled on the tracks, clamp and all. How did they actually manage to capture that level of detail?
They utilized a revolutionary imaging technique called cryo-electron microscopy, or cryo-EM.
Okay.
Essentially, you take your molecular sample and plunge it into liquid ethane to flash freeze it in a very thin layer of vitreous or non-crystalline ice.
Wait, why does the ice need to be non-crystalline?
Well, normal ice forms sharp, jagged crystals that would physically pierce and shred these delicate protein structures.
Oh, that makes
sense. Yeah.
Vitreous ice forms so fast that the water molecules do not have time to crystallize, creating a glass-like suspension. This traps the enzymes in their natural active states without damaging them.
Fascinating.
Then you shoot a beam of electrons at them to take thousands of high-resolution snapshots. This team managed to refine those snapshots down to a resolution of 3.11 angstroms.
3.11 angstroms.
Yeah. At that level of detail, you can literally see individual amino acids and the exact helical twist of the DNA ladder.
But wait. If cryo-EM is basically taking a static freeze frame, how do you catch the machine the exact millisecond it makes a mistake? Wouldn't it just fix the error and move on before you can get the picture?
That was the massive hurdle, yes. To overcome it, they introduced two highly innovative steps. First, to ensure that the PCNA sliding clamp stayed attached securely to the DNA, they used a much longer piece of DNA than previous studies.
How long?
A 35 base pair double-stranded region. This long track gave the clamp plenty of physical room to hold on tight while the polymerase did its job.
Okay, that covers the clamp and the second step.
Here's where it gets really interesting.
Okay.
They forced the enzyme to make a mistake live, what scientists call an in situ mismatch.
Live on camera, basically.
Exactly. Instead of handing the machine a DNA strand with a typo already in it, they essentially fed the molecular builder the wrong building block.
Oh, sneaky.
Right. Instead of giving it the correct letter, DCTP, they flooded the cellular environment with the wrong letter, DTTP. So the mismatch occurred completely naturally, deep inside the printing site.
Wouldn't the shredder just instantly cut out the wrong letter the moment it was printed?
Not if you break the shredder first.
Hey, fine.
Yeah. The researchers used a mutated version of the enzyme, an exominus mutant. It had all the moving parts, it could sense the mistake, and it could physically move the DNA into the shredder, but the actual cutting mechanism was deactivated.
Oh, wow. So it just gets stuck.
Exactly. This engineered a molecular traffic jam. The enzyme tried to fix the error, but got stuck holding the DNA in the proofreading position, allowing the researchers to freeze the machine right in the exact middle of the act.
That is a brilliant experimental design. Which brings us to what they actually saw when they developed those electron snapshots. And from what I understand, their very first control observation completely upended decades of textbook science.
It was a massive plot twist in the field of structural biology.
Tell me about it.
So, as a baseline control, the researchers did what old studies used to do. They fed the fully assembled machine, clamp and all, a piece of DNA with a pre-existing mismatch.
Okay.
And the result was stunning.
Yeah.
The rigid ring of the PCNA sliding clamp literally blocked the mismatched DNA from entering the proofreading site.
Wait, I want to make sure I'm visualizing this correctly. If the DNA already has a mistake, the sliding clamp physically gets in the way and stops the editor from fixing it. Why would it do that?
Because of the angle of entry. The sliding clamp holds the DNA in a very specific rigid trajectory.
Right.
When a pre-made mismatch approaches the assembled hollow enzyme from the outside, the clamp does not allow the DNA to bend at the severe angle required to thread the needle into the internal proofreading chamber.
So it just crashes.
Yeah, the mismatched DNA just physically collides with the outer structural wall of the enzyme.
So decades of past studies, which used pre-made mismatches without that stably bound clamp, were basically looking at an artificial process.
Precisely. Those older studies do not reflect physiological reality. A pre-made mismatch just bumps against the outside. To trigger the true proofreading mechanism, The mistake must originate from within the builder site itself.
Because this team forced the mistake in situ, live on camera, they were finally able to watch the authentic internal process unfold.
Yes, and they captured three distinct, never-before-seen states of this molecular choreography.
Let's walk through them. What happens the exact millisecond the wrong letter is printed?
We enter the first intermediate, the mismatch locking state. The enzyme immediately senses the physical distortion of the wrong letter. The standard Watson-Crick base pairing fails.
Just to clarify, Watson-Crick pairing is the standard puzzle piece rule of DNA, right? Where adenine only fits perfectly with thymine and cytosine only fits perfectly with guanine.
Correct. When the enzyme accidentally forces a mismatched pair together, the puzzle pieces physically clash.
Which creates a bulge.
Exactly. It creates a microscopic bulge in the DNA ladder. The enzyme detects this bulge and, in response, a part of its structure called the finger's domain physically opens up.
Like it's dropping its tools.
Yes. This structural shift instantly halts the printing press. But here is the surprising action. The entire enzyme actually moves one base pair forward along the DNA.
Forward. If it just printed a mistake and wants to back up to cut it out, why take a step forward?
It steps forward to lock the mismatch in place. By shifting the newly made error one position down into what is called the post-insertion site, it ensures the active printing press cannot accidentally grab another nucleotide and extend the DNA past the mistake.
Oh, so it essentially quarantines the typo so it cannot be permanently buried under new letters.
Exactly, it isolates it.
Okay, so the typo's quarantined, the fingers are open, the printing has stopped, but it still has to somehow get the typo to the scissors 40 angstroms away.
This initiates the second intermediate, the pole backtracking state. What? The enzyme utilizes a part of its structure called the thumb domain, along with a specialized anchor loop. You can picture these as tiny mechanical levers.
Levers pushing on the DNA?
Yes. They physically push against the DNA backbone. The DNA unwinds by exactly one base pair, separating the two strands, and the entire DNA helix starts sliding backward, away from the printing site and toward the exosite.
So it actively throws the machinery in reverse, but it still has a long distance to cross.
Which brings us to the third intermediate, the mismatch editing state. What's fascinating here is the sheer mechanical force the enzyme exerts.
Force, like pulling it.
Twisting it. A highly unique domain of pole epsilon called the P domain tilts by 12 degrees. Simultaneously, a structural connector called the linker helix violently rotates 36 degrees.
36 degrees. On a molecular scale, for a protein structure holding onto a rigid DNA molecule, that sounds like a massive, violent structural shift.
It is a huge structural torque. This violent twisting motion forces the DNA to backtrack even further. And in the process of that violent twist, the enzyme physically melts apart a massive 6 base pairs of DNA.
Six?
6 base pairs. That is the longest stretch of unwinding ever seen in any proofreading study. For context, previous studies on other types of polymerases usually only saw about 3 base pairs unwind.
Hang on, 6 base pairs unwound. Inside that tiny molecular chamber, if you forcibly unzip 6 rungs of the DNA ladder in such a confined space, wouldn't the two strands just wildly tangle up? Or worse, wouldn't they just snap right back together before the machine can navigate the typo into the shredder?
In almost any other biological system, that is exactly what would happen. They would snap back together.
Right.
But pole epsilon possesses a unique structural feature in its proofreading domain called a beta hairpin loop. This loop is uniquely short compared to other polymerases.
And a short loop means what?
Because it's so short, it cannot cleanly keep the separated DNA strands apart like a wedge. So the unwound DNA actually scrunches up inside the chamber, and the strands begin to bind back together incorrectly.
Wait, they bind together incorrectly?
Yes, forming what we call out-of-register base pairs.
Oh, I see. So it is essentially like buttoning a shirt, but you miss a buttonhole. You keep buttoning all the way up, but the fabric scrunches up awkwardly, and the collar is totally misaligned at the top.
That is a perfect visualization. It is exactly like buttoning a shirt incorrectly. The DNA strands repair with each other, but entirely out of their proper alignment.
So they form these weird, scrunched up shapes.
Yeah, they form these bizarre, scrunched up, mismatched pairs lower down the strand. But this molecular scrunching serves a beautiful, highly specific purpose.
Which is?
By scrunching up the fabric of the DNA, it shortens the physical distance required to reach the shredder. It protects the rest of the genetic code, leaving only the single wrong, mismatched nucleotide dangling straight into the molecular scissors.
Wow. It deliberately creates a tangled, scrunched up mess of the surrounding DNA just to perfectly isolate the one bad letter in the crosshairs of the shredder. That is unbelievable engineering. So what does this all mean?
Well, on a fundamental level, it requires us to completely rethink polymerase mechanics.
How so?
We now know that the PCNA sliding clamp is not just a passive carabiner holding the enzyme to the track. It's an active constraint that forcefully dictates the exact trajectory the DNA must take during proofreading.
It's basically steering the whole process?
Exactly. Furthermore, that P-domain we discussed earlier, biologists previously assumed it just helped the enzyme grip the DNA. Now we have proven it has a critical third function. It actively powers the violent melting and repositioning of the DNA strands.
And there has to be a direct clinical application here. We mentioned earlier that errors made by this specific enzyme are a massive driver of human cancers.
There is a profound clinical link, yeah. Because the researchers could see the enzyme down to the individual amino acid, they mapped out the exact structures involved in this scrunching process. They found a specific amino acid building block in the enzyme called proline 286.
Proline 286.
Yes. Proline is a very structurally rigid molecule. During this scrunched out-of-register state, proline 286 acts as a physical wedge to keep the strands separated just enough right at the top to expose the typo to the scissors.
A physical wedge. So if something happens to that specific proline molecule, the whole proofreading system breaks down.
Completely breaks down. Medical oncologists have known for a long time that genetic mutations occurring at this exact spot, specifically mutations where proline 286 is swapped out for a lysine or an arginine, known as P286K or P286R, devastate the enzyme's proofreading fidelity.
Oh,
These specific mutations are documented, well-known drivers of highly aggressive human cancers, particularly colorectal and endometrial cancers.
Because swapping the rigid proline for a bulkier molecule changes the shape of the wedge.
Exactly. For years, we knew the mutation caused cancer, but thanks to this structural snapshot, we finally know why.
The wedge fails.
Right. If that proline wedge is mutated and loses its rigid shape, the scrunched DNA cannot be properly stabilized. The strands slip, the typo escapes the scissors, it becomes permanently embedded in the genome, and a cancer-causing mutation is born.
Connecting a microscopic atomic wedge directly to a colorectal cancer diagnosis is staggering. Are there other types of genetic errors this structural scrunching helps explain?
It might finally solve a long-standing mystery regarding a phenomenon called replication slippage.
What's that?
Sometimes when a DNA sequence has a long run of the exact same letter, let's say, 10 adenines in a row, the polymerase enzyme gets confused during copying and slips, accidentally adding an extra letter or missing one.
Like losing your place while reading.
Yeah. If the DNA utilizes this out-of-register buttoning mechanism to scrunch up during proofreading, you can easily imagine how a stretch of identical letters might snap back together. Because they are all the same letter, they pair up perfectly, but they are completely out of alignment.
Oh. The machine buttons the shirt perfectly, but because all the buttons look identical, it doesn't realize it started on the wrong buttonhole until it loses its place entirely.
Exactly.
That makes so much sense, but it also makes me wonder, if this highly unique P-domain and this short beta hairpin loop are specific to pole epsilon, do other machines in our body use totally different tricks to proofread? I mean, could they actually drop the clamp, or do they have their own ways of scrunching the DNA?
You have identified the exact next frontier for this field of research.
Really?
Yeah. Pole epsilon handles the continuous leading strand of DNA. But we have a whole host of other polymerases. We have pole delta working on the lagging strand. We have completely different polymerases operating inside our mitochondria.
Do they scrunch too?
Do they also scrunch their DNA into out-of-register pairs? Do they maintain constant contact with their own sliding clamps? The reality is we simply do not know yet.
Oh, fast.
The researchers make it explicitly clear that the immediate next step is to apply this exact in situ methodology, forcing the live mistake on camera, to other polymerases. We need to find out if this violent scrunching mechanism is a universal law of physics for DNA replication across the board, or a highly specialized trick unique to this one specific leading strand machine.
It is incredible how one beautifully designed study can answer a decades-old structural question while simultaneously opening up 10 new avenues of inquiry.
That is the enduring beauty of structural biology. So to synthesize what we have unpacked today,
please do.
By observing the human DNA polymerase tightly bound to its sliding clamp and forcing it to make a mistake naturally, researchers uncovered an entirely new proofreading mechanism. To fix this single typo, the enzyme must violently twist and melt 6 base pairs of DNA, scrunching the strands into an out-of-register alignment to perfectly position that single error for removal.
A violent, beautiful, microscopic ballet happening billions of times inside you right now just to keep your code intact.
If we connect this to the bigger picture,
what does this mean for our understanding of how other massive molecular machines handle errors? And could targeting these scrunched intermediate states be the key to stopping cancer mutations before they even start?
It is a question that will undoubtedly drive the next decade of genomic and oncological research.
This episode was based on an open access article under the CC BY 4.0 license. You can find a direct link to the paper and the license in our episode description. If you enjoyed this, follow or subscribe in your podcast app and leave a 5-star rating. If you'd like to support our work, use the donation link in the description. Now stay with us for an original track created especially for this episode and inspired by the article you've just heard about. Thanks for listening, and join us next time as we explore more science, base by base.
To have one wrong letter slips in, small and sly, but the ring stays locked as the strand goes by. No panic, no break, just a steady hold, a careful hand in a machine of gold. Back it up, unwind the track, find the flow and take it back. 6 bases back, let the truth unspool. Then we roll on through, proof in the motion, fidelity new. Not every mismatch can reach that door when the clamp is set on the helix core. So the DNA scrunches, template bends, 3 tight steps till the error ends. Mismatch, lock and hold your breath, don't move. Pull back, track and find the hidden groove. Mismatch, edit, now the pathway's clear. A quiet correction you can almost hear. 6 bases back.